turning to James this morning, but there is, early in that chapter, there is the statement that James has written through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and that is, if anyone lacks wisdom, you are to ask of God, who gives to all liberally. Gives to all liberally. And that is comforting to so many of us, that we can call on God, who certainly gives us wisdom, wisdom that we need. And yet, I also know that in that same paragraph, we're also told, but the man who is double-minded, the one who is not a faithful man walking in faith, he shouldn't expect to receive anything from the Lord. You know? And so, you know, like, so what does that mean? How can a person really want wisdom, and yet there are times where he may not receive it because he's double-minded, or she is double-minded, or really is not certainly in a right relationship with the Lord? There's an interesting psalm, a verse in Psalms, that tells us that there are times where our sin can really hinder our prayers. And we also see something similar that Peter writes in 1 Peter. He says, if we're not in a right relationship with our spouse, you know, like, our prayers can very well be hindered. So even when we call on the Lord for wisdom. Now, there are some wisdom books in the Bible. Proverbs certainly is a key and a significant book about wisdom. And wisdom in Proverbs really means skillfulness, skillfulness at living. The wisdom that we see in Proverbs allows a man of understanding to acquire proper guidance, the things that you need so that you can be successful in life. Now, even when I say successful at life, that kind of causes a little bit of a, well, what exactly does that mean? I mean, I don't think it means that we become very successful businessmen, or though maybe we see examples of that. But successful at living is what's really important. What's really important in life as believers in Christ? Can we gain things about wisdom for living as we look into the wisdom books and some other places? I'm going to flip over a page of notes so that I can use this a little bit later. Now is not the time for what I would like to share. But if you were to open up the book of Proverbs, and if you go to the first chapter, I would like to draw your attention to a couple of verses there, make a couple of comments. Most of our focus is going to be later on in the book of Proverbs. We'll be focused primarily on chapter 9 and make some, I think, very, very key comments and points that can be a help to all of us. But early on in the book of Proverbs, you have what I would say is the motto of what Proverbs is all about. Where we read this, verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. So if we are looking to be very, very wise, certainly we see right early on in the book of Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, or the beginning of wisdom. That's where it really is, the fear of the Lord. And it also brings into play another group of people, or an audience for us to consider, fools. Who are fools? Many times in Proverbs we are introduced to fools, the simple-minded, mockers, the scorners. And who are these people? Well, these are These are people just like us. The first nine chapters in Proverbs really deals with instruction. It's almost as it's instruction of a father teaching his son things to avoid so that you can live a good and godly life. But we also see that there are some other things, too, in this first chapter that we just need to be aware of. If, in order to gain wisdom and knowledge, we need the fear of the Lord, we first have to kind of understand what the fear of the Lord means and what that is all about. And we will see a little bit later, more clearly, that if we gain wisdom, if we follow wisdom, there are blessings that are going to be given to us. But if wisdom has the attitude, the characteristics that come from God, just as I said in my introductory remarks, what happens to people who call on God asking for wisdom, as James shows, but the double-minded person, really, you shouldn't expect anything from God. You shouldn't, because you're double-minded. Well, going right now, since we're on this page, those of you who have the first chapter of Proverbs open, we would read this, starting at verse 22. This is wisdom talking, wisdom being talking, spoken to us as a woman. We see wisdom being produced as a woman here. It says, wisdom cries, well, verse 22. Now let's go to 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the market, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks, and she says, and everyone here in this room, we've all been there. We are the simple ones. We are the immature ones. This appeal can be made to us. And it says, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. So if you turn, that's great. I will make my words known to you, because I have called you. Check this out. Because I have called you and you refuse to listen, I have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. It's a bad outcome for those that refuse to hear what wisdom has to offer. And again, we go back and we say, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and instruction. Doug and I were talking a little bit earlier about the marvelous things that we see in God's Word, particularly the book of Job. It's amazing, some of the things that we read there that just also, just as we took a look at that led to Fixio earlier, that there's a lot of wisdom in Job when we read. And also, as far as wisdom is concerned and the fear of the Lord, we would read something like this from the book of Job. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil? That's early in the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 8. The fear of God is brought out early in that book, just like it is early in the book of Proverbs. Later on in the book of Job, chapter 28, verse 28, we would read, "And he said to man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to turn away from evil is understanding." That's pretty key. So the fear of the Lord really is to turn away from evil. There are a lot of things that we look at today in the days that we are living and on this face of the earth, and we are a testimony, and yet we do allow things of the world, evil things of the world, to penetrate even our homes, and it shapes our minds and our attitudes. And I think that many of you probably are afflicted with some of the same things that I am. I can certainly still remember a lot of things from my past before I became a believer in Christ. I can still remember them as clear as the sun is shining today. And they're not pretty, but they've shaped me. I can relate to a lot of things in my personal history, to songs that were popular back in the day. And but we're not going on to a personal testimony here, but I do know that we allow things to penetrate our minds and our hearts by what we want to listen to, what we see, places that we go, and we are involved many times, I propose, to create idols that we worship and we revere more than we do the things of God. In Proverbs chapter 8, we're going to also see another glimpse of Lady Wisdom. She's introduced here. We read a portion from chapter 1 about Lady Wisdom. She surfaces other places in Scripture. But even in chapter 8, she says something about the fear of the Lord. She says in verse 13 of chapter 8, she says, "The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate." We need to learn to be like Lady Wisdom. We need to love the things that God loves and hate the things that He hates. Well, He hates pride. We often remind ourselves that that was the sin of Satan. I'm sure that there were more things that Satan was full of, but pride is a horrible sin. But there are some evils in the world that we don't hate. We have become numb to a lot of things that are around us. And we see things that really disturb us. We can get very, very upset about what's going on in the country of Ukraine right now and the atrocities that we see. But still, sometimes we're not as upset about abortion in this country. We're not as upset about the evils of prostitution, pornography, where people that are trafficked, you know, like Charlotte is a major area where human trafficking goes through up and down the highways, 77 and 85. And we hear about that and we know about it, but I don't know if we really hate these things. But the fear of God not only means to avoid evil, as we've seen in some of these verses that I've mentioned, but it also relates to actively obeying God. That's what the fear of God is all about. Fear of God is not a terror of God. I know that we looked at that defixio earlier today, and I would say that what was etched inside that, cursed, 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 surely you will be cursed by God Yahweh. You know, like, well, that would give me liver shivers, you know, like being cursed by God. But certainly we are certainly in a day of grace and things are different for us. But obeying God really demonstrates more what the fear of God is all about in our own heart and in our own life. We see that carried out in Genesis chapter 22. We would see that when Abraham took Isaac up on the mount and was ready to sacrifice Isaac, because that's what God had instructed him to do. And we certainly know that picture. We have seen that. Genesis chapter 22. And so he's raising the knife and he's ready to sacrifice Isaac, the promised one. And then we hear, "Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to harm him. For now I know you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." So the voice of the Lord saying, "For now I know you fear God." Was that a surprise to God? No, that was not a surprise. And I would really suggest that to properly understand what that phrase means, "For now I know that you fear God," really means you were willing to obey. That's what that really means. You know, like, here's the test. How far was Abraham willing to obey what he heard from God? He was ready to go all the way. He was all in. Is that where we are in our understanding of the fear of God? There's another place. I was looking at this morning during the worship service because I was thinking of taking some verses that were around Psalm 33, but I didn't have an opportunity to share this. Maybe that's because this is the time. Psalm 33, verse 8 says this, that the fear of the Lord means to stand in awe of him. Certainly he is an awesome God. But the verse 8 in Psalm 33 says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." I'm pretty sure that it was a man named Tremper Longman. I had for a study that I took, a correspondence course at Emmaus on Psalms and Proverbs. I'm pretty sure it was Tremper Longman who said this about the fear of the Lord. He gave a summary definition, and that definition was this: fear of the Lord is that awe or reverence or respect which a person has for God, which causes that person to turn away from evil and keep God's commandments. And what it does, it leads to a certain type of behavior. What type of behavior? A godly behavior. That's what it does. It's awe or reverence or respect that a person, that would be us, that we should have for God, which causes us to turn away from evil. And anything that is evil and slimy and smelly in the environment we're living in, and it causes us to turn away from that evil, to hate it, and to keep God's commandments. And it really causes us to want to live a godly lifestyle. Well, that's what it should do, but we don't excel in doing that often, do we? We don't. Again, thank you for God's grace, which is all sufficient. Where sin did abound in our own hearts and in our own lives, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Praise God for that very, very precious thought. So now we're going to take a look at Proverbs chapter 9. We already saw that wisdom in chapter 1 can have somewhat of a dark side in that You know, like, she will, people don't want to follow wisdom. Well, guess what? At their end, she's going to laugh. You know, like, she's not going to bail them out. You had your choice. And that's the appeal to everyone that is coming under the instruction of God's word in these beginning 9 chapters of Proverbs. It's really a father instructing his son. I think I mentioned that. But also, to read Proverbs correctly, we kind of have to see the picture of what's going on. I would like to say a couple of other things quickly so I can just get it in. And I would say, as we look at chapter 9, we are also going to see that both the woman wisdom, or the lady wisdom, and the other woman, Dame Folly, they are calling from the heights. We see them calling from the heights. I think Colin would like this, and so for Colin's sake, I'm going to bring this in. No commercial interruption. But I would just say that if we were to take a look to try to understand the time that this was written, you know, like ancient Near Eastern writings, you would find that from the heights, from the high points of the city or the community, that is where God is or represented. That's where the temple would be. Even in Mesopotamia, even in other places, from the high points, this was where God is. When you think of the Babylonians and the Mesopotamians, they are building their ziggurats or their step pyramids to make a mountain in a flat area because that's where God is. So we would have to say that Lady Wisdom is really a picture or a metaphor for God. And Lady Folly, or Dame Folly, we could say, as we are looking at Proverbs, she represents the idols of the world. The nation of Israel, or the Jews, they go into the Canaan, the promised land. And God wants them to wipe out those people and possess the land. Well, the people in Canaan, they were under judgment of God. They worshipped other territorial gods, Baal and Ashtoreth. Idols. How quickly do we find in the book of Exodus where the Jews, now Moses goes up for the Ten Commandments, and already what's happening to God's people? They are worshiping and bowing down by the golden calf. We see that time and time and time again. And so the choices, wisdom or folly, who are you going to choose? We start thinking about other prophets that we read about in the Old Testament. We think about Elijah. We think about him against the prophets of Baal. And you remember that story, I hope. You know, like, well, let's call on the Lord. Let's build our altar and see who's going to bring fire down from heaven. And so, you know, like the prophets of Baal are calling on them, on their God, and cutting themselves and everything. And Elijah is having fun with them. Call louder. Maybe they're asleep. Maybe you got to wake them up. And nothing happens. And then Elijah, he takes his sacrifice and he has put a trench around it. And they're dumping buckets of water over and over again on top of the sacrifice. And then he just calls on the name of the Lord. And we see who really has fire and who can answer. It's the great God. But we also know that the Jews, as they come in there, and I may be using the name wrong when I should be saying the Hebrews or what have you, so forgive me, but when they come into that land, they're going to be influenced by Baal and Ashtoreth. Why? Because the people there see that this is their land. Although we're taking over the land, maybe we need to sacrifice to Baal or Ashtoreth in order to get blessings and rain for our crops. Well, who controls the rain? Who controls the growth of the crops? Certainly it's God, God himself. And we see that. Elijah is a prophet of God. Isn't he the one who says it's not going to rain for 3 years? And it doesn't. But that's a little something for you to see. The choice is, who are you going to follow? And the choice is also the same for us today. Who are we going to follow? Particularly for young people that are here, you are still trying to make choices in life that are important choices, but it's so important for you to be locked in on the choice of following God, fearing God, and acquiring wisdom for yourselves. If not, you are playing the fool. Two choices. We see that time and time throughout Scripture. The narrow road, the broad road. Which are you going to follow? So anyway, so we see that the choices really are spiritual. They are spiritual. And we see this as we read chapter 9. The way of wisdom. It says, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beast. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has set out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. I'm going to, for the sake of time, skip 7 through 12. The way of folly. The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, time out right now. Verse 16 and verse 4, do you see the appeal is exactly the same? Wisdom is calling out, and she says, what we just read, what Dame Folly calls out using the same words. You get the picture. Here's the multitude of young people. They are simple-minded because they are trying to learn which way they should go. And the appeal is to both, by both. Folly and wisdom are making that same appeal. Come in and dine with me. Also, to understand this time period, to have a relationship with someone, to follow their ways and to be close to them, it was very important in this culture to come in and sit and dine with someone. But you can't go to dinner at the same time in two different homes. Are you going to go in and dine with wisdom and gain wisdom and gain understanding and rejoice in the fear of the Lord? Or are you going to follow folly, who has nothing to offer? Nothing at all to offer. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here, folly says, and to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. We can take a look and say, okay, a young man is going by, and you know, men can be easily seduced to the wrong things. But this can also be a picture of people that are stealing things that certainly don't belong to themselves. It can be kids who just say, you know, it's going to be fun to go to Farmer McGregor's farm and kind of steal apples off of this tree. And after we have a big bushel, we're going to go behind the barn and we're going to eat these apples in secret. Whatever it is, it's not God's way, is it? It's not. wisdom offers an awful lot. You know, like if you're going to make a choice as far as who you're going to follow and who are you going to go in to have a relationship with and who you're going to follow, let's just take a look at what we know about Lady or Dame Folly. It says the woman Folly is loud, she is seductive, but she knows nothing. She knows nothing. What do we know about Lady Wisdom? Well, we see an awful lot about her. Not just here, but some of the things that we also saw in another place in Scripture. But we also know that in chapter 8, if you were to take a look at that page, here's a couple of things that we should understand about wisdom. It says in verse 6, she speaks noble things. From her lips come what's right. Verse 7 says, from her mouth comes truth. She says that she hates wickedness. It's an abomination. In verse 8, she says, all the words of my mouth are righteous. There's nothing twisted, nothing crooked in them. Verse 9, they are straight to him who understands. Do you have understanding to know that her ways are godly ways? And it's right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction, she says in verse 10, instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels. Wisdom, if you get wisdom, you are a rich person indeed. And if you have chosen wisdom and you're following the Lord Jesus, that is a successful life right there. That is the highest success. I, wisdom, it says in verse 12, dwell with prudence. I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. We read that verse. I have counsel in verse 14 and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me, kings reign. I think that we see an awful lot in her biography, what she has said, what she's all about. And we see very little that Folly has to offer. Our time is short. It's over. I would just like to say, just keep in mind that there is an appeal that is being made to all people, particularly those that are young, that are immature. But also, for some of us, we can be old chronologically, but we still can be very immature about a lot of things. But the appeal that is being made, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. That's what Lady Wisdom is saying. That's what Dame Folly is also saying. So what choice would you make? You know, well, we're smart people. We've taken a look at some verses this morning. We're going to say, it's no brainer. We're not going to go where woman Folly is. You know, but is that really what we would do? Is that really how we would choose? Woman Wisdom says in verse 6, for us to leave your simple ways and live. Live. If you leave your simple ways, you can have life and walk in the way of insight. That's really what is being offered to you. That is truly success in life. That's what you gain when you really apply God's word and you develop those behaviors and those characteristics that make other people see Christ in you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Now, the fear of the Lord, you don't have to be terrified of him. But the fear of the Lord really means that you need to have that awe, that reverence, that respect. And you hate the things that he hates. Evil. You hate the sin. You hate the sin even that you see when it raises its head in your own life. You want to repent of those things. And we know that we stumble and we fail and we fall. But God's grace is always so sufficient for us. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. But we want to stay on that path. We stay on that path, and the knowledge of the Holy One, that's insight. That gives us what we need for life. And we remember this about those that really play the fool. You know, it says in Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It's no God. Someone else once said, what it's really saying, no, I'm not going to listen to God. It's another way of looking at that verse. He's saying no, like an atheist, or even as a person that believes that you have a sound mind. Are you saying no to God? Will you say no to God when he tells us what and how he wants us to live our lives? Will we say no to him? But Lady Folly kind of only offers death. Death by making a bad choice and never coming to know the Lord and to know his ways. I thank you, Father, for this brief look that we've had into wisdom and folly. We pray that you would open up the eyes of our hearts to the choices that really need to be made. May we honor you with our choice. May we really declare that we want to grow more like the Lord each day. Wisdom comes from you. It says in James, if any of us lack wisdom, we should ask of you. You give to all liberally. So we ask right now, give us wisdom. Help us. Help us to learn the truth. Help us to apply what it says in your word. Let us learn to love you more and love others. We commit ourselves to you in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.